The president wants to shrink the government and save billions of dollars.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. At this hour, President Obama is outlining a new plan to make government more efficient. The president he's expected to ask Congress to give him the authority to merge some departments and agencies. And he spoke just moments ago saying the country doesn't have the government it needs. The president is expected to consolidate six government offices that deal with trade and commerce as a first step. And Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale is with us live with more on that story. Hey, John.
Hey, Steve.
So, all right, let's talk about the president's plan.
Well, he says there's way too much duplication and inefficiency throughout the government, and he'd like to combine a lot of offices that have all sorts of overlapping duties. Like you say, starting with some trade and business agencies, like the U.S. Trade Representative and the Export-Import Bank and the Small Business Administration. He says he can save $3 billion over 10 years.
All right. Sounds like it makes a little sense. Why not just do it?
Well, the problem is that all these government offices are like little fiefdoms with powerful political sponsors. Here's Paul Light, a government professor at New York University.
All of these agencies are owned by congressional committees and subcommittees, and it's difficult to do without some sort of expedited authority that provides an up-and-down vote.
So the president has asked Congress to guarantee a vote on his government trimming proposals. And Light figures there could be plenty of savings, as much as $100 to $150 billion, which is a tenth of the deficit.
Oh, that is a lot of money. All right, John, is anything like this going to fly with the Republican Congress in an election year?
Well, Republicans say that they'll give this careful consideration, and they do support leaner government, even though they're very reluctant to give this president any additional power.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale at our Washington Bureau. John, thanks.
Best of luck, Steve.
All right. Let's do the numbers. Markets are down right now, generally in the 0.5% range across the board. The Dow is off this morning about 84 points, 12,386. The NASDAQ and S&P each down about 0.5% as well. Standard & Poor's is reportedly set to downgrade credit ratings of several Eurozone countries later today or tonight. Now, those downgrades could make it even more expensive for troubled countries to borrow more money. Here in this country, J.P. Morgan Chase today reported a 23% lower profit in the last quarter of the year, blamed partly on the European debt crisis and on the sour economy, weighing on investment deals and trading. A lot of banks are also blaming new regulations limiting overdraft fees for a cut in those profits. But as those financials scramble to find new sources of revenue, they also risk losing customers. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler now on the growing ranks of the so-called unbanked.
Many of the working poor don't use banks because the fees make the services too expensive. Now new fees could drive existing customers away from banks. Kimberly Gartner is with the nonprofit Center for Financial Services Innovation.
We're seeing banks exploring different fees on some of their checking account products or deposit account products. And some consumers, as a result of that, are choosing to go elsewhere for their services.
But some banks are starting to see the benefit of keeping and attracting low-income consumers. Carl Carandi is with KPMG. It advises banks about the potential profits from services like check cashing and prepaid debit cards.
With some of the advances and the supporting technologies, banks can provide these at more competitive prices than they had in the past.
The unbanked represent a big market. KPMG estimates they number around 33 million people in the U.S. with almost $500 billion in earnings. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
Tonight, Penn State's new president will host a town hall meeting with alumni about the sexual abuse scandal that's engulfed the university. It is the third in a series of confrontational question and answer sessions, or something akin to what you'd see from angry stockholders at some big company. Marketplace's Gregory Warner attended a forum last night, and he filed this report.
More and more, public colleges in this country feel like corporate America. Tonight, 650 Penn State alumni pack a Radisson Hotel conference hall like unhappy shareholders. In the front row sits Larry Grossman, class of 73.
while people I felt who were in control should have taken the bull by the horns. Now the whole university is kind of tainted, and that really ticks me off.
So why being here, how is that going to help untaint it?
I don't know that it will untaint it, but it gives me a chance maybe to vent my anger, okay?
To vent and to vet the new CEO, I mean, university president Rodney Erickson, who replaced President Graham Spanier, dismissed in November. Grossman's family is still struggling over how much to donate to the alma mater, and so is Anne Marie Merrill, flanked by her sorority sisters.
That's what I'm here tonight to make a decision on, quite frankly. I am. I'm here. That's part of what I'm here for, to find out, what do we do about these Penn State season football tickets? What are we going to do about the donations?
President Erickson gives a speech about openness and compassion and living up to Penn State values that lasts just 7 minutes. Then he sits in a plush chair on the long stage to take questions for an hour 15. Anthony Lubrano, a financial advisor and multi-million-dollar donor, says he's just come from Joe Paterno's house.
And Coach wanted me to share this with all of you, and he was very clear. He said, and I'll try to do my best Joe impression,
"Kid, remember, this is not about me. This is about our school."
So in spite of how we've treated him, he's still thinking about us first.
When it was all over, I asked the sorority alum, Anne Marie Merrill, what she decided about her donation.
I don't know. It just was more the same, and the audience contributed to asking the same questions over and over again. So I think football money is due February 1st, so I've got a couple weeks.
Another alum told me she's going to give even more this year, but earmarked. And first, she's going to go on the university website and actually read the budget. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, one last word from me. On this, my last day at Marketplace, it has been an honor and a privilege to have been a part of this broadcast over the last 3+ years. And while I've made a decision to move on, I'd like to thank you for supporting public radio and my small part in it. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, still on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
For most, Friday is the end of a long, hard week. But for us, we're just getting started.
We're clearly in this cycle of healing again.
But it goes kind of up, down, down, up.
I think we discovered something wonderful when our credit got downgraded.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap. Everything you need to know about the week's big economic news and oh so much more. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.